Time for our local hero spotlight with Asia Tallarico from CISA, the local hero folks, and Charlie Ochowski, who I'm going to call cider expert. Does that seem fair, Charlie?
I'm a little modest, but that's okay.
Okay, and out of the wine bunker, deep below State Street Food Store, Deli Wines and Spirits, it's the Wine Sun. We're going to taste cider because today through Sunday is Cider Days. Cider Days, Charlie, is something you've been involved with for a long time. For those who have not heard about it, what is Cider Days?
Well, it's been in the works now for 22 years, and it actually started 23 years ago. Paul Crenti wrote a book on cider making for amateurs. He wasn't a very good photographer, so Brewers Publications hired me, and they knew I lived in apple country. And when the book was finally published, instead of going to World Eye or to a bookstore, we decided to make the subjects of the photographs to be a tour, a self-guided tour in Franklin County.
Mm-hmm.
So Greenwood Farm in Northfield, Clarkdale, Pine Hill Orchards, they all became part of a tour, a one-day event. And here we are 22 years later, and it's a two-and-a-half-day event with thousands of people come Franklin County.
And it has been inspirational to people in a renaissance of cider in North America, not even just in Western Massachusetts. Many people have been able to go and go to restaurants or go to State Street and places like that and buy this cider that's made right here. But that wasn't the case pre-Cider Days, really, was it?
Well, I think it was a harmonic convergence of a lot of things. But what we had going for us, though, was West County Ciders up in Coleraine by Terry and Judith Maloney were making varietal-specific ciders. And they were making impeccable quality. And they got some great write-ups nationally. They had a following that developed fairly quickly in the mid-'80s. And I think they were a lot to do with it. And we used their tasting room as the hospitality suite to meet after Cider Days first several years to compare ciders made by amateurs and have a social gathering. So I think that was part of it too. They had exposure. Really, we had no idea this was going to happen, but we loved it. We did it. We continued with it, and here it is.
Wine Sun from State Street. How does cider do retail-wise now that cider has begun to grow thanks in large part to Cider Days in our area?
It has really taken off. I've only really been actively aware of Cider Days for 4 or 5 years in Franklin County. So it is starting to sort of trickle down to the awareness of us down in the southern counties here. But cider in general, I mean, like he said, it started with West County Cider. I mean, that really started to put things on the map with real quality cider. And then everybody started to kind of look at diversifying their farms and being like, what else can we do with all this stuff as the economy is changing? And we're seeing lots of interest. The gluten thing started to really push people towards cider. They're like, oh, here's something that's at least similar to beer that definitely doesn't have gluten in it.
And now Asia Tallarico from CISA. How does CISA interplay with Cider Days? It's worth mentioning that ciderdays.org is the website. There's tons of events. Maybe the marquee event is the Cider Salon at Berkshire East on Saturday.
Saturday night.
But what is CISA's involvement with Cider Days?
We have a lot of our local hero members who are involved, who are going to be doing tours and tastings all across Franklin County. It's not just our farmers and our restaurants, but it's the orchardists that are members of ours that we want to support. We're just trying to help get people out, get the community out to support these small orchards.
Well, not only is today through the weekend Cider Days, it is the last weekend of America. As the election is happening on Tuesday. So this is basically the all drinking show to prepare for living, not just in the wine bunker, but in the actual bunker with lots of canned goods and fermented beverages. So we're going to need to know how to live the highfalutin life and what to look for when tasting cider. So you brought some ciders here. What's this first one we're tasting, Charlie?
Well, the first one is from Headwater Cider Company located in Holly, Massachusetts. Pete Mitchell bought an old existing dessert apple orchard. And what I mean by dessert are the apples that were grown to be sold like in a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And mom and dad going out with the kids and buying a half bushel apples for fall eating. And so he was stuck with some apples that weren't really great for making cider, but you could still alter the fermentation and the techniques used to make a decent cider. But he's been grafting like crazy the last several years. So he's starting to grow apples other than the dessert apples and putting some tannins and other attributes into the ciders.
So for those who don't usually hear our wine tasting segment, maybe, the tannins are the sort of sweaters on your teeth that gives it this the dryness in the mouth structure.
Astringency,
yeah. All those
I
things.
Love that.
So what are we looking for in a good cider and what's good about this cider?
When you taste the cider, the first thing you should assess is the aromatics coming off the cider. Some of them are fleeting, so if you don't take a quick sniff, it's gone. Some of it can be very negative. There's a lot of sulfur compounds produced by the fermentation process. Mm-hmm. I always like to have a cider that captures an apple essence to it because that'll draw you in. Then I look at the clarity. Although, you know, a cider with any kind of haziness sometimes means a quality organic product.
Yep.
And a lot of artisanal cider producers don't really have the initial financing to have filtration or those processes available to themselves.
If I were to look at this, it would look like, you know, maybe a Chardonnay or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or, you know, we're going to go to the doctors and give them a sample.
Even, and I like the comparison, but I was getting, even in the aromas, a little bit of that, like, that classic Alsatian sweet apple aroma, which obviously, as a cider, you're going to get some apples.
Yeah,
there.
Right. That's good.
So it draws you in.
So what do you think about this Headwater cider, Charlie? What do you like about it?
It's a good cider that will probably fit any occasion, whether you want to drink it on your porch, you want to have it with a meal, has enough to offer there that'll fit any kind of occasion. I personally would like to have a touch more sweetness to it, but that's a subjective look at it.
What about you, Weinstein? What do you think about the Headwater?
It's funny that he pointed out the sweetness, because one of the things I really look for in alcoholic apple cider is the dryness, because I feel like if I want a sweeter apple drink, I'm going to have non-alcoholic cider or apple juice. So I'm actually really appreciating the acidity, and also that it does have an appreciable, almost puckery dryness at the edge of your tongue.
What about you, Asia? What do you think about it?
I like it. I think it's nicely tart. It's not too sweet. I am a big fan of dryness in both wines and cider, and I think it does that very well. I don't think I'd want it any sweeter.
I like it because it has alcohol in it. Mm. It's Cider Days today through Sunday. It's a marquee event for the craft beverage community. It really helped cause an explosion of cider in our area. People come from all over the country and even sometimes all over the world to come to some of these tastings and salons to learn about how to make good cider. Cider was an important part of the colonial heritage when there was non-potable water. You'd give some of this cider to your kids at the dinner table every night. So I keep that tradition alive, whether my wife knows it or not. Charlie Ochowski, who is a cider tasting expert, what's the second one we're going to taste here?
This is a organic New England style hard cider produced in Asheville by Beer Swamp Orchard. I am not familiar with this product.
So you can judge it harshly.
I can be very objective about it, sure, because I don't have any connection to it at all. I would say this one is more petulant than sparkling. There's a bit of carbonation coming off it.
Frizzante?
But it's not as overly carbonated as our first Headwater cider.
So this one's a much darker golden color.
Certainly less filtered, not as
it had a
clear.
Had like a pear aromatic mingled with the apple.
It's sort of thicker in a way. What
more
do you call
viscous?
That?
More
viscous. Oh,
maybe
I like that.
Even unctuous.
Ooh, is that how you say that?
Uh-huh.
Unctuous.
It's got more of a petroleum kind of feel or a honeyed feel to it than the other one, less of a crispy apple.
I got a distinct honey aroma.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something that's going to explain away the color and the flavors and aromas we're perceiving here.
So it got honey?
Organic brown sugar and organic raisins.
Oh,
there we go.
So that would tell us the
so this
coloration.
Isn't straight up cider. This is cider plus.
Well, remember, he's talking about New England style. Years ago, you would make barrels of cider from the apple juice, and they quite often put raisins as a source of sugar, flavor, and yeast, because the bloom would be on the dry grapes, and brown sugar would give it a higher alcohol level. But unfortunately, brown sugar is tainted with molasses, so you're acquiring the color and the molasses complex as part of the flavor profile.
Down the hatch. Election's coming.
By the way, we're pouring these into the wastebasket.
Sure you are, Charlie.
Yep.
Now, a hopped cider. Who makes this one, Charlie?
This is another product made by Bear Swamp Orchard as well.
This is becoming common, too, the hopping cider.
And hops is what, you know, you add to beer. So this is, and cider is more like, usually more like a wine than a beer, right? But then if you hop it, it becomes more like even more of a hybrid.
But remember, hops was added as a preservative.
Exactly.
You know, hops do have a quality preserving beers, but it also preserves a cider. And when they put barrels and barrels away and they're going to drink them over several months, they want to have the quality of it maintained in their cellars. So I think maybe hops were added for that reason.
Hmm. I agree with Charlie. It's probably more marketing. Cider process-wise and tradition-wise is more related to wine. I think actively in the market today, the crossover is more closely related to beer. And what's really hot right now with beer is IPAs and hop, hop, hop.
I sort of get the sense it's one-dimensional, both in aromatics and flavor. And the hops is sort of like the star here of the show. It's sort of like rising above the apple qualities. But remember, if it was a killer base cider contending with this hop thing that they're trying to market, it doesn't really work.
He's very fair as a judge.
He is.
He's not throwing this under the bus.
Completely unbiased, as a judge should be.
He's like the FBI.
Is medicinal a negative term to use?
It can be.
It's not to me. Because I think it is to, in general.
I mean it in a good way for the first time ever, and that's what I'm sort of getting with this cider. It's like floral and a little bit medicinal.
Yeah,
in an earthy kind of way.
I think if you say earthy and herbal,
people
will appreciate that more than medicinal.
Yes. It tastes like NyQuil.
No. Herbal was definitely the term.
Monty's right. Medicinal is sort of like Listerine. Yeah. Mm. The smell of a fresh Band-Aid when you open it up. It has that sterility just in the smell.
Oh, my favorite.
Of it.
Yep.
Yeah. What's this last one, Charlie?
The last is produced by Kars, a local cidery.
This is their ginger product.
So this is another flavored cider. A successful non-traditional ingredient, usually if they use fresh or frozen, has the qualities of the original non-traditional thing. So I can tell right away that they probably use fresh ginger in producing this because it has a wonderful fragrance of ginger as your first pour in the glass.
I feel like I just opened a bag of ginger snaps.
Yeah.
Now this tastes like a ginger apple pie.
Mm.
A little whipped cream on top.
Yeah.
Give me a fork.
Wine Sun from State Street Fruit Store, Daily Wines and Spirits, where you can get all sorts of interesting ciders. Charlie Ochowski, who is a cider expert and judge at Cider Days, one of the founders of Cider Days. There are over 13 locations. Ciderdays.org is the website. There's a cider salon at Berkshire East on Saturday evening.
Cider Salon, last thing I heard from Ben Watson, we have 44 producers and over 110 ciders that'll be available at the salon. And some of them are not available here in Massachusetts. They come from other parts of the country.
So that's your opportunity to taste them. And Asia Tallarico from CISA, who are also supporting not only Cider Days, but the Cider Run 12K next week at Clarkdale, which is one of the Cider Days locations.
Yep. Sunday, November 13th. It starts and ends at Clarkdale. It's going to be beautiful. 12K loop. You can register online for $25. There's going to be prizes. The first 150 people get a T-shirt. It's going to be really neat, and all the proceeds go to support CISA. So you should register. You can go to buylocalfood.org if you want to do that.